Welcome to the Daily Radio Bible. The day is Saturday. It's September the 2nd. It's day 245 in our journey through the Bible. Hello to everyone out there. My name is Hunter, and we are about to do what we do every day. We're going to take some time in God's Word. We're going to let God's Word take some time on us. And oh, how we need that, no doubt about that. If you're new to this podcast, just want to welcome you, let you know we're so honored that you're here to join us. This is something that's quite simple, actually. It's brothers and sisters from all around the world gathering together each day to hear from God. And over the course of a year, we will eventually read through the entire Bible, the Old Testament once and the New Testament twice. But more than that, our heart is that we would have an encounter with the love of God, because that's where everything changes. So may we find that very thing today as we look into the book of Ezekiel, once again, chapters 17 through 19, and then we finish our reading in the book of Revelation, chapter 7. We're reading through the New Living Translation. Let's jump right in. Ezekiel 17. This message came to me from the Lord. Son of man, give this riddle and tell this story to the people of Israel. Give them this message from the Sovereign Lord. A great eagle with broad wings and long feathers covered with many colored plumage came to Lebanon. He seized the top of a cedar tree and plucked off its highest branch. He carried it away to a city filled with merchants. He planted it in a city of traders. He also took a seedling from the land and planted it in fertile soil. He placed it beside a broad river where it could grow like a willow tree. It took root there, and it grew into a low-spreading vine. Its branches turned up toward the eagle, and its roots grew down into the ground. It produced strong branches and put out shoots. But then another great eagle came, with broad wings and full plumage. So the vine now sent its roots and branches toward him for water, even though it was already planted in good soil, and had plenty of water. So it could grow into a splendid vine and produce rich leaves and luscious fruit. So now the Sovereign Lord asks, will this vine grow and prosper? No. I will pull it up, roots and all. I will cut off its fruit and leave its leaves to wither and die. I will pull it up easily without a strong arm or a large army. And when the vine is transplanted, will it thrive? No. It will wither away. When the east wind blows against it, it will die in the same good soil where it had grown so well. Then this message came to me from the Lord. Say to these rebels of Israel, don't you understand the meaning of this riddle and of the eagles? The king of Babylon came to Jerusalem, took away her king and princes, and brought them to Babylon. He made a treaty with the member of the royal family and forced him to take an oath of loyalty. He also exiled Israel's most influential leaders, so Israel would not become strong again in revolt. Only by keeping her treaty with Babylon could Israel survive. Nevertheless, this man of Israel's royal family rebelled against Babylon, sending ambassadors to Egypt to request a great army and many horses. Can Israel break her sworn treaties like that and get away with it? No. For as surely as I live, says the Sovereign Lord, the king of Israel will die in Babylon, the land of the king who put him in power and whose treaty he disregarded and broke. Pharaoh and all his mighty army will fail to help Israel when the king of Babylon lays siege to Jerusalem again and destroys many lives. For the king of Israel disregarded his treaty and broke it after swearing to obey. Therefore, he will not escape. So this is what the Sovereign Lord says. As surely as I live, I will punish him for breaking my covenant and disregarding the solemn oath he made in my name. I will throw my net over him and capture him in my snare. I will bring him to Babylon and put him on trial for this treason against me. And all his best warriors will be killed in battle, and those who survive will be scattered to the four winds. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. I will take a branch from the top of a tall cedar, and I will plant it on the top of Israel's highest mountain. It will become a majestic cedar, sending forth its branches and producing seed. Birds of every sort will nest in it, finding shelter in the shade of its branches, and all the trees will know that it is I, the Lord, who cut the tall tree down and makes the short tree grow tall. It is I who makes the green tree wither and gives the dead tree new life. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do what I said. Ezekiel 18. Then another message came to me from the Lord. Why do you quote this proverb concerning the land of Israel? The parents have eaten sour grapes, but their children's mouths pucker at the taste. As surely as I live, says the Sovereign Lord, you will not quote this proverb anymore in Israel. For all the people are mine to judge, both parents and children alike. And this is my rule. The person who sins is the one who will die. Suppose a certain man is righteous and does what is right. He does not feast in the mountains before Israel's idols or worship them. He does not commit adultery or have intercourse with a woman during her menstrual period. He is a merciful creditor, not keeping its items given as security by poor debtors. He does not rob the poor, but instead gives food to the hungry and provides clothes for the needy. He grants loans without interest, stays away from injustice, is honest and fair when judging others, and faithfully obeys my decrees and regulations. Anyone who does these things is just and will surely live, says the Sovereign Lord. But suppose that man has a son who grows up to be a robber or murderer or refuses to do what is right, and that son does all the evil things his father would never do. He worships idols on the mountains, commits adultery, oppresses the poor and helpless, steals from debtors by refusing to let them redeem their security, worships idols, commits detestable sins, and lends money at excessive interest. Should such a sinful person live? No, he must die and take full blame. But suppose that sinful son in turn has a son who sees his father's wickedness and decides against that kind of life. This son refuses to worship idols on the mountains and does not commit adultery. He does not exploit the poor, but instead is fair to debtors and does not rob them. He gives food to the hungry and provides clothes for the needy. He helps the poor, does not lend money at interest, and obeys all my regulations and decrees. Such a person will not die because of his father's sins. He will surely live. But the father will die for his many sins, for being cruel, robbing people, and doing what is clearly wrong among his people. What, you ask? Doesn't the child pay for the parent's sins? No. For if the child does what is just and right and keeps my decrees, that child will surely live. The person who sins is the one who will die. The child will not be punished for the parent's sins, and the parent will not be punished for the child's sins. Righteous people will be rewarded for their own righteous behavior, and wicked people will be punished for their own wickedness. But if wicked people turn away from all their sins and begin to obey my decrees and do what is just and right, they will surely live and not die. All their past sins will be forgotten, and they will live because of the righteous things they have done. Do you think I like to see wicked people die, says the Sovereign Lord? Of course not. I want them to turn from their wicked ways and live. However, if righteous people turn from their righteous behavior and start doing sinful things and act like other sinners, should they be allowed to live? No, of course not. All their righteous acts will be forgotten, and they will die for their sins. Yet you say, "The Lord isn't doing what's right." Listen to me, O people of Israel. Am I the one not doing what's right, or is it you? When righteous people turn from their righteous behavior and start doing sinful things, they will die for it. Yes, they will die because of their sinful deeds. And if wicked people turn from their wickedness, obey the law, and do what is just and right, they will save their lives. They will live because they thought it over and decided to turn from their sins. Such people will not die. And yet the people of Israel keep saying, "The Lord isn't doing what is right." Oh, people of Israel, it is you who are not doing what's right. Not I. Therefore, I will judge each of you, O people of Israel, according to your actions, says the Sovereign Lord. Repent and turn from your sins. Don't let them destroy you. Put all your rebellion behind you and find yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, O people of Israel? I don't want you to die, says the Sovereign Lord. Turn back and live. Ezekiel 19. Sing this funeral song for the princes of Israel. What is your mother? A lioness among lions. She lay down among the young lions and reared her cubs. She raised one of her cubs to become a strong young lion. He learned to hunt and devour prey, and he became a man-eater. Then the nations heard about him, and he was trapped in their pit. They led him away with hooks to the land of Egypt. When the lioness saw that her hopes for him were gone, she took another of her cubs and taught him to be a strong lion. He prowled among the other lions and stood out among them in his strength. He learned to hunt and devour prey, and he too became a man-eater. He demolished fortresses and destroyed their towns and cities. Their farms were desolate and their crops were destroyed. The land and its people trembled in fear when they heard him roar. Then the armies of the nations attacked him, surrounding him from every direction. They threw a net over him and captured him in their pit. With hooks they dragged him into a cage and brought him before the king of Babylon. They held him in captivity so his voice could never be heard again on the mountains of Israel. Your mother was like a vine planted by the water's edge. It had lush green foliage because of the abundant water. Its branches became strong, strong enough to be a ruler's scepter. It grew very tall, towering above all the others. It stood out because of its height and its many lush branches. But the vine was uprooted in fury and thrown down to the ground. The desert wind dried up its fruit and tore off its strong branches so that it withered and was destroyed by fire. Now the vine is transplanted to the wilderness, where the ground is hard and dry. A fire has burst out from its branches and devoured its fruit. Its remaining limbs are not strong enough to be a ruler's scepter. This is a funeral song, and it will be used in a funeral. Revelation chapter 7. God's people will be preserved. Then I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds, so they did not blow on the earth or the sea, or even on any tree. And I saw another angel coming up from the east, carrying the seal of the living God. And he shouted to those four angels who had been given power to harm land and sea, "Wait! Don't harm the land or sea or the trees until we have placed the seal of God on the foreheads of his servants." And I heard how many were marked with the seal of God. 144,000 were sealed from all the tribes of Israel. From Judah, 12,000. From Reuben, 12,000. From Gad, 12,000. From Asher, 12,000. From Naphtali, 12,000. From Manasseh, 12,000. From Simeon, 12,000. From Levi, 12,000. From Issachar, 12,000. From Zebulun, 12,000. From Joseph, 12,000. From Benjamin, 12,000. After this I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands, and they were shouting with a great roar, "Salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living beings, and they fell before the throne with their faces to the ground and worshipped God. They sang, "Amen! Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength belong to our God forever and ever. Amen!" Then one of the 24 elders asked me, "Who are these who are clothed in white? Where did they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you are the one who knows." Then he said to me, "These are the ones who died in the great tribulation. They have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and made them white. That is why they stand in front of God's throne and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will give them shelter. They will never again be hungry or thirsty. They will never be scorched by the heat of the sun. For the Lamb on the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of life-giving water, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes." And And now may the shepherd who leads us to water and wipes our tears away, may he give his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. Who are these people dressed in white? And why is John taking such careful account of every single one of them? Why are they dressed in white, and why do they shout out with joy? John wants us to know the answer, so he asks the question in verse 13, who are these who are clothed in white? John tells us in verse 15 that they stand in front of God's throne and serve him day and night because they once had no shelter, but now they do. They were once hungry and thirsty, but now they have been satisfied. They were once scorched by the heat of the sun, but now they have found shade. They were too familiar with tears and sorrow, but those tears have been dried. And now they are familiar with life-giving water. But why them? Why are these people dressed in white and shouting with joy, these desolate and broken people? Well, because, John tells us, they have disrobed. They've taken their coverings. Whatever it was that they covered themselves with, maybe it was good things that they tried to clothe their inner shame and their inner pain with. Clothes of piety and charity, their reputation and hard work, and try as they might and work as hard as they could, they never could achieve being clean enough. And they were exhausted and they knew it. So they took all those clothes off and they stood naked before God, naked as they really are. They took their prized clothes that failed to cover their pain and shame, and they washed them in his blood, because try as they might, all their effort couldn't make these clothes white enough. So they washed all these clothes in the blood of the Lamb, and he made them white. And he made them new. Others in this great crowd tried to cover the dirt and the hurt on the inside by camouflaging their clothes, by covering them up. They found perfect ways to hide and numb the hurt and the dirt through lust and lies and pleasure and addiction. All of this just trying to get lost in the dirt, helplessly knowing that there was no way to be free from their hurt. These covered and camouflaged ones came too, and they got naked, and they stripped off their clothes that helped them hide, and they stopped hiding, and they washed their hiding clothes in the blood of the Lamb, and they hid no longer. And now their clothes were white and bright, and they were seen and known and loved by the Lamb. All the clean and all the covered come and wash their clothes. All the people, all those who are hungry, who are thirsty and burned by the heat of the sun and broken and weeping, all these people come and they strip down naked. And they wash these clothes, and they become clean. They come from every corner of the world, John says, and they have a new song, a song of life, a song about the Lamb. And John wants you to know who they are. He wants you to know who you are. Cover yourselves no more. Your clean and your camo clothes, they can all be washed. And Christian, you can put on clothes made white by the blood of the Lamb. And you can have a new song even today. John wants you to know that. And so do I. DailyRadioBible.com. That's our home base. That's where we hang our hat. And it is always such a great thing to hear from you, to connect, to find out a little bit about you. So next time you got a moment, take it and let a brother know. Hey, speaking of letting folks know? How about letting your friends know that you are on this journey by sharing the app with them? It's free. All you have to do is click on the link that says share the app, and there's a lot of different ways that you can share it with the folks in your life. There are people out there who are hungry, my friend. They're hungry and thirsty and burned by the heat of the day, and they need to know that God loves them. And we as a community here at the DRB, that's what we are all about. So share the app. Pass it on to a friend. Hey, did you get our last newsletter? It went out yesterday. It was a pretty simple thing. It was just kind of a recap of the summer. Pictures from you, from listeners from all around the world who sent in a few snaps of some highlights of the summer. Summer's a great time. I think it's my favorite season, and I really did enjoy looking at the pictures you sent in, so thanks for that. If you'd like to get our newsletter to find out the happenings of the folks here at the Daily Radio Bible, that would be you and me, well, sign up for it. It's real easy. Just click on the link on the app, and we'll get next month's, or this month, September's newsletter into your email. One last thing before I go, just want to remind all of you that we can stand with our brothers and sisters in prayer in and around the Houston area, the Texas Gulf Coast. They've just, as everybody seems to know, they've been hammered, and our hearts go out to them, and we have an opportunity to pray for them. And as we do, God will lead us to know what to do even beyond prayer, but we can certainly pray. We also want to pray for a different part of the world. Bangladesh right now is submerged in flooding, and there are hundreds of people that are losing their lives in those floods throughout Asia. So let us have our hearts be drawn there as well in prayer. Well, hey, my friends, we have done it again. We have spent another day in the Bible, and I plan on being back here again tomorrow to do the same thing, Lord willing. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, I fully intend to be here. Until that time, let's go forward. Let's go forward in God's joy. Let's let His joy be our strength. And let's remember this, that we are loved. No doubt about it. All righty. I'll talk to you tomorrow. You guys take care.